Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. We're into hour number three. I am Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. We are broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Welcome to the program. Now, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, I've got some of the most amazing bling that you have ever seen on this program. Check out my desk. If you're watching on TV live and you're checking out the simulcast, this bling is absolutely spectacular. And the reason I have that is because I've got the UFC Women's Featherweight Champion joining me in studio. Former Invicta FC world champion, a former Strikeforce world champion, a two-time IBJJF world champion, and she did defend the UFC Women's Featherweight title at UFC 222. I am joined in studio by Chris Cyborg. Chris, it is so nice to see you. How are you?
Great. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Jim, for being here. It's my pleasure.
It is great to have you here and so nice to talk to you. And that belt is really something else. I mean, that's a champion's belt right there. Let me start with the belt. How much pride do you have in being a world champion? And what's the pride and what's it feel like when you put that belt around your waist?
You know, it's a big responsibility to be the champion because you don't just have to be the champion inside cage, but you have to be outside because the young kids look at you and then want to be the champion one day. And you have to be example. But I think the most important to be the champion is my journey, what I did for be the champion. I think this is the big example for it's a really hard because no easy. Everybody thinks the be the champions easy, not. But to continue to be the champions the most hard, not just the conquest the belt.
And what a great point that is. Is it tougher to get to the top of the mountain or is it tougher to stay at the top of the mountain?
To stay because people watch you. You know, my opponents watch me and then they won't beat me. And I can only stop learning. I have to keep training and learn for getting better, for continue to be the champion.
Chris Cyborg joins me here in studio. At the end of December, you beat Holly Holm at UFC 219. It was a classic, tough five-round fight. What do you remember most about that night, and what was your biggest takeaway?
You know, Holly, I always respect her because she's like 13 times a world champion boxing, and I really love boxing, and I would like show the clean boxing when I fought her. And for me, the day when I fight Holly, I knew if I beat her, I beat Ronda the same night. And for me, it's very special that night. And I'm really happy, you know. I would like maybe do rematch because some judge who watched the fight think maybe she's, you know, have a 3-2 for me. But I think I dominated all the rounds, you know. I think I did the game I would like to do, like the boxing game.
Now, we'll talk about that rematch in a minute. But you just said that when you beat Holly, you felt like you beat Ronda that same night. What do you mean by that?
Because Holly beat Ronda when she's the top number female fighter. And then Holly beat her, and I have never had the opportunity to fight Ronda. And then when I beat Holly, I was thinking beat them both same night.
You know, you never had the opportunity to beat or to fight Ronda. Do you think that Ronda was afraid of you?
Yes. I think she take out the table the fight that a lot of fans would like to watch. Like, it's like 2 million pay-per-view for sure the people are going to make this fight. And a lot of fans would like to see this. But I think she just used my name for grow her name because before she be the champion, before she be UFC champion, I was already champion. And then I think she just used this. And then when you see when she fought Holly and she fought Amanda, why she ran from me. Like she's, you know, no would like to fight to me, for sure.
Chris Cyborg is joining us. You know, Chris, I probably should know better because in the fight game, anything can happen. I mean, anything can happen. Styles make fights. In MMA, there's so many different styles, so probably it shouldn't have been so shocking to me. But I remember watching Holly and Ronda fight, and Ronda seemed just unbeatable at that point. Again, you probably knew better. But then to see Holly strike the way she did and to put that beating on Ronda that she put on her was really astonishing to so many people. What did you think as you were watching that fight?
The time I watched this fight, I was fasting for fight Ronda, and then I was thinking, okay, who's gonna win? I just met Holly that time, and I know she having a short notice about this fight, like she don't have long camp, and you know she's training really for a beat to take down the Ronda, you know, like she Holly she have great footwork and great boxing, and she just need to learn it for defending her for a takedown. And then for sure she's going to beat Ronda. And then she did this, like getting shocked a lot of people. But I was believing Holly that time. I was believing Holly because she's having great boxing.
So it didn't surprise you. I'll tell you what was surprising, that Ronda stood right in front of her. Ronda stood in front of her and tried to strike with her.
Yeah, I was thinking like this fight, if Ronda put her on the ground, I believe Ronda going to submit her because I don't think Holly have the game, the grappling game. And Ronda was really fast. And but she's did great. She did a great plan in the fight.
Chris Cyborg is my guest in studio. You mentioned a quick turnaround. Now, after your fight, you had a really quick turnaround on short notice, and you defended your belt again at UFC 222. You want to stay active. You want to fight. You're a fighter. But how tough was that short turnaround and then to come right back a few weeks later?
This is the biggest challenge for me is accept to fight 5 weeks. The first thing I did to check my weight because it's a really short notice. But because this, I think it's really important we keep training, you know, just when you have fight. And it's something I really don't worry about, more do my weight. And of course, it's no easy to accept the fight, defend your belt in 5 weeks. But I'm really happy, you know, I did this for Help FC because they need someone to be in the place because someone fight turned down. And I'm really happy for the great opportunity I had.
All right, so what about Holly Holm? She won her next fight, and your first fight with her was very good. You mentioned a moment ago that you might be open to a rematch. Would you like to fight her again?
You know, I think Holly, her last fight, she did amazing. She showed really her improve her game. And Meg Anderson is the contender number one, 145 pounds. And after that fight, I'm really excited to like to do a rematch. And I think it can be a different fight. And I would like to do 5 rounds and finish it before 5 rounds. You know, put more grappling, more stuff in the game. But the first one, I would like to show my box for all my fans. If I beat someone 13 times as a world champion boxing in the box in her game, you know, for me, it's a big goal.
All right, so you've got 2 fights left on your deal, right? So if it were up to you, do you fight her one more time? And then there's been all that talk about a possible super fight with Amanda Nunes. Well, does that make sense? Holly and then Amanda?
You know,
if you win.
Yes, I think Amanda is a good fight, you know, for sure. I think because she did a lot of for sport too, you know, she beat Ronda too, and she beat a lot of girls, big name. I think it'd be a great fight. She's not the people sell a lot of pay per view, but I think because her style and my style, I think people would like to see. I think it'd be a great fight, and for sure it can be Holly and Amanda.
All right, so we know what happened when you fought Holly. Every fight's different. If you fight Amanda, how do you think that fight would go? How would that play out?
After I watched her last fight, and then with Raquel Pennington, I think she surprised me a little bit because the girl, she's 2 years on fighting. She came from injury 1 year, and she did 5 rounds with the girl. Like, show me she helped you work a lot, you know, and then I just wait, you know, just train for see the opportunity. I think it's going to be a great fight. In the beginning, I really don't like to fight because it's 2 Brazilians and we defend the 2 belts, you know, 2 counters. And then I do like 1 counter. I don't like to fight her. But she challenged me. And then, you know, I'm here for fight. Who would make this fight going to make it? Then I say I want to make this fight. And I just continue training and wait her. But I would like not wait her. I would like fight before because she said her last fight in Brazil, she had an injury. And she needs 6 months for get recovery. I would like to fight before. I don't like to wait.
I was going to say, do you have that kind of time? Will you wait for her?
No, I don't want to wait. I want to fight. Like, I have to fight. If she's having, she's choose to fight in Brazil, then fight me July. You know, I'm ready to fight. If you then call me a Chris, I have fight for you, I'm ready to fight. And if she needs a little bit of time, you're cool. But I would like to fight who would like to fight me 145 pounds.
You know what's really strange is you go back a little bit, and you started off, among other things, or of all things, as a handball player. Now,
yes.
You were not just a good handball player. You were a great handball player. Knowing what I know about you as a combat participant, what was it you liked about handball?
I love sport. I started doing sport when I was 12 years old. And I feel like the sport helped me, like, forget a lot of things I passed through in my life, my family, and with my dad, like, divorced my parents. And I feel like when I practice sport, I feel great. And then when I start to play handball, this is helping me got a scholarship, you know, and they compete and they learn a lot. And when I was never have a dream be a fighter. This is the one thing I never think I'm going to be a fighter, like. And then I always in the school, I have suffered bully. And then I always hide. I never want to fight somebody in the school. And all my friend in the school, very troublemakers. And I was the last person to be there. And then when I was playing handball in the university, I went to university, one guy from Shootbox, he's watching me play handball. And then when I finished the game, he told me, I think you're going to be a great fighter. And I look at him
from
like,
watching you playing handball.
Yes, and then I know I was really rough. And when I play, I really good in defense, and the defense defender every team, and then I was strong that time too. And then when he told me, I think he can be great fighter, I look at him and said, what do you mean he looks great fighter? Like, you know, for me, I was never following the fighter, like never following MMA. I think I just watched Mike Tyson with my dad, you know, like, but I never watched because in Brazil it's very late in the night.
Right.
But I look at him and I say, oh, okay. And then all the time he saw me and he see me in the school and he say, ah, you can come to my gym, shoot the box. And I say, okay. But I never want to show up. And the one day I show up and then I just watch. And then the second day I did my first train. And I see I have that thing inside my heart. Like when people try beat me and I feel what? And I want to beat, really punch back. And this is one thing you cannot teach anybody. This is coming you have to born from. You know, you want to fight. And then when
But you never wanted to fight, though,
no,
right?
No, I also don't know I have this thing. It, like, surprised me, too. And I think surprised everybody at the gym because, and they have one girl. She's always beat me in the gym. Always, she's very strong. And one day I beat her. That day,
What'd that feel like? What did that do for you?
And then that day, like, she never tried to beat me again. But like test, like, you know, it's test for me. But that day I was 3 months training. And then when this day I feel like I would like to fight back, and I asked my coach, I would like to fight for see what's happened. And I did my first fight in 6 months. And I was not nervous or anything because I don't know what is going to be, like what feel would be a fighter, like nothing. And I did my first fight 6 months. I lost my first fight. I have a bad injury in my elbow. But after a fight, I said, amazing. I love it. And then I want to do this. And I asked for a rematch a long time ago, but she never did the rematch for me. But I say I born for this. And I stopped doing handball. I stopped doing, I was doing track and field too. And I just be a fighter. But it's like God gave me something amazing for me because I never looking for be a fighter.
So you found your thing, and then you became a world champion. Now you've got 2 fights left on your contract with UFC. You love boxing. You want to box, don't you?
Yes, you know, I love to challenge myself. And then I did compete in jiu-jitsu. I did compete in Muay Thai, wrestling. And then I think doing 5 boxing. When I started in boxing. And I came to MMA because I don't have the opportunity. And then if you have the opportunity to fight boxing, I would like. I think it's something I would like to challenge myself. Same I say in the beginning, it's not for me just important to be the belt, but to be my journey, you know, what I'm doing for the sport. And I think I can help the boxing woman growing her the sport too. And then it'll be amazing doing would have the opportunity to fight boxing like Mayweather and then McGregor.
So what did you think when you saw that fight? McGregor Mayweather. What did you think about that?
No, in the beginning, I knew Mayweather going to beat McGregor, but he's very courageous. He's opened the door. You know, he's opened the door for us. I was thinking of doing one boxing fight, but before McGregor, I said it was impossible. You know, but when I saw him there and the step fight Mayweather and opened the door for everybody, you know, I think he's great. I think the fans look at this too. You know, the MMA fighter can fight one box fight and make amazing
can't
fight.
Can't go the other way though, right? They can't fight MMA. Boxers cannot fight MMA, but yeah, maybe an MMA can box.
Yeah, because they're going to take down, you know, and
then
they're
going to
do anything. Yes, I think I think better go to MMA to the box.
You know, Chris, you took an anger management course after getting into a fight with another UFC fighter after she had made comments about you. You know, you and I are sitting here, and of course, this is just, we're here. I mean, I find you to be very, very engaging. I think you're very charming. You're very smart. I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of you like she did. That anger management course, what was that like?
You know, I think I've grown a lot, you know, for this experience. And I was in Brazil that time, she's making joke, and I was in hospital with my dad. He's really doing surgery for cancer. And that time I was work with kids too with cancer in the hospital, and she make a lot of bad joke with the picture with the kids. And when I come back and I saw her, and then we everything she did coming through, and some things you cannot make joke, you know, you pass the line. And that time I was really emotional. That time, you know, I really have a hard time with my dad, and this is what has happened, you know. And I'm not proud of what's happened. I really not proud. And because this, I start no bully, you know, with kids, one program for the kids, because I'm not proud of this. But sometimes can happen because sometimes you have to know what you joke about. You know, you don't know what people pass through at that time. And I hope people learn with this mistake too. But, you know, and then I think she learned a lot too. I think, I hope she, after that, she getting better person, you know, something you cannot joke about family. You know, I think this is very hurtful you do that.
You know, if it's something that you as a world champion has dealt with, you can imagine how many other people deal with online bullying. So how does it make you feel when you hear people say things or make comments about you the way that she did? And then how do other people deal with these things? Because online bullying is a very real issue.
It's a very bad, you know, very right. bad for the teenagers. It's funny because I have long time people bully me online, long time. But that time, she's joked something like, okay, you can joke because you say something about myself, because, you know, pretty, because, you know, Barbie. For me, it doesn't change this. But the time she played, like, people's sickness in the hospital, this really touched me, you know. I don't think school do this. And for the bully online, I really learn a lot of things. I try use the bully, what people say for me in my Instagram, everything. I try prove them wrong. But don't fight with them, you know. I try change. Okay, if I know good one thing, maybe they're right. Maybe I need to change. You know, for make me better person. But that time, she joked something is really bad for joke. You know, I was really sensitive about.
Chris Cyborg joining me in studio. Listen, before I let you go, you recently adopted your niece Gabby.
Yes.
And when I see photos of the two of you or hear you talk about her, you just light up. What's it been like being a mom and having Gabby with you?
You know, I live a dream. This is my dream I have a long time. Before I move to America, I make a promise for her. I say, Gabby, when I do everything in my life, I'm going to bring you for live with me. And bring her, I live the dream. I live the dream. Like, it's really special. We always live together in Brazil, but bring her here for giving her other opportunity. Like, when I move to America, I even speak in English. And now she's came and she didn't speak in English too, and they start teach her, but she just have to go to school. When I reach America, I have to go work, I have to do a lot of things. And I want to help her. She be a great woman, and then you know, do something for people, same I'm doing for her. And yeah, this is amazing for me. I'm living the dream now.
Good for you. Listen, on July 14th, you're going to host Chris Cyborg's Pink Belt Fitness Retreat for Women, and it's going to take place in Costa Mesa, California. What is that day going to be like?
It's one campus, like one day with me. Sometimes I do 2 days. It's like one group. I like to put the girls each other for you can use, like same things I use, example, use each other for talk, you know, and then not just train together. You don't need to be champion, you don't need to be a fighter. If you don't know, punch in the bag, it doesn't matter. You're going to be there, you're going to learn, and then you're going to meet a lot of girls. And we're going to still have connection. I have a lot of camps, and I still connect all the girls. I think it's really special, help each other and, you know, encourage the women, you know, doing great and then, you know, be happy.
What a great conversation. I am so glad that you and I came together, that we were able to do this, that I can meet you and you can come on the program. You are the UFC Women's Featherweight Champ. Chris, so nice to meet you. That was really great. Really good to have you on. Good luck with the next fight. And I hope that you and I can do this again soon.
Thanks so much. I'm really happy here. I'm glad, this opportunity for my fans know a little bit more about me. And people want to know about Pink Belt, want to talk to me, send a message, go to my Instagram at Chris Cyborg. And thank you. I'm really blessed to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Very well done. And if they want some more information, once again, should they go to your Instagram account? Is that the best way to go?
Yes, at Chris Cyborg.
Okay, at Chris Cyborg. Champ, it is great to have you here in studio. Thanks for bringing that belt. It is awesome and really nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Great job, Chris Cyborg. All right, we'll take a short time out. When you come back, I know we've got a lot of fans, her fans, MMA fans. If you want to call up and react to it, the telephone number is toll-free. You know that. 1-800-636-8686. We are live in Southern California. We'll take this short time out, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
PGA Tour on CBS is headed to our nation's capital to kick off the 4th of July celebration. Tiger Woods is going to tee it up. So will fan favorite Ricky Fowler. It is the Quicken Loans National. It is this weekend on CBS. Chris Cyborg in studio. Some of you clones doing what you do. And that's nothing to be proud of. I'm really impressed. You know, I've interviewed a number of athletes over the years that learned a second language, did an interview in a second language. You know how nerve-wracking it would be just to come on a show like this anyway in your native tongue, or to come on a show like this in studio when you're talking to somebody like, I mean, it'd be like me trying to fight MMA. I have. It doesn't go well. So when they come in here, this is like arguably my sport, right? My home field advantage. This is what I've been paid and trained to do. And some athletes are really good at it. Some athletes are better at my job than I am at my job. But a lot of them aren't. So for her to come in here and to do what she did and to do it on a stage that big, I'm really impressed. And you should be more impressed, some of you. And some of you are. But I really enjoyed that. I thought that was tremendous. So I want to thank Chris Cyborg for coming in. I'll look forward to doing that again. And again, this is a place where we're always going to talk MMA. And looky here, man, I've been calling this guy out. I'm so glad he's back. Now, there was speculation that he was kicked off of Twitter. I can neither confirm nor deny that. But I can tell you this. He is a smack-off champ. He is a guy who has been here before. He is one of those so-called made guys. The big topic leading up to Smack-Off 24 has been, where's Mike in Indy? Where's Vic in NoCal? I can answer one of those questions. Vic in NoCal is right here, right now. We go to the phones. Victor, what's going on, Vic?
My man.
Vic.
Well, first of all, let me be clear. This is not an RSVP call. By the way, clones, RSVP, that's French. It stands for Répondez, s'il vous plaît. And what that means in French is, you know what? Never mind. But like I said, Rome, this is not an RSVP call. I don't do RSVP calls, even though I invented the damn thing. No, I just do weigh-in calls the day before. But other than that, every call I make is an RSVP call, man. I mean, at the risk of saying something totally lame and cheesy like that cornball brother Mike and Indy, I don't get ready, Rome. I stay ready. I'm always on wait. You know I'm going to be there. You know, some of these other guys like Carbone or Doc Mike, Iafredi, now Mike in Indy is doing the same thing. And by the way, you know Mike is going to show up, Rome. That guy has no life outside of the jungle, man. Of course he's going to call. I mean, just think of all the FUBU gear and the Roka wear, any Che he can potentially buy himself with that $5,000. Of course he's showing up. But, you know, anyway, these guys do this thing where they hide out. Nobody knows if they're going to show up or not. You know, you just mentioned Iafredi has missed like six smack-offs. Sometimes they'll skip the smack-off for years, and then they show up out of the blue on the day of, trying to sneak in, you know, trying to ambush people, catch people off guard. That's a bitch move, bro. That's like the equivalent of having to fight a guy who just got subbed in there as a last-minute replacement. I don't do that crap, man. With me, you can set the fight date a year in advance. You know I'm going to be there. You know I'm going to make weight. You know I'm not going to pull out at the last minute because I injured myself in training camp or threw a trash can through a bus window or whatever. Hell, I'm even going to come in before the event and make a few calls just so all you clones actually have something to talk about, give you clones some material, you know, because you see, Rome, that's all the smack-off really is, man. It's all just a bunch of guys talking about Vic and NoCal for 3 hours. It's true. I got the official Stucknut Jungle Analytics report on this, okay? The Jungle Analytics guys at Stucknut, Headstrom, Poldock, Steve, they've been crunching the numbers, running the algorithms, and it turns out 80% of the content you hear on the day of the smack-off is just guys talking about me or replying to the calls I made like in the month leading up to the event with the weakest smack, you know. It, just so unimaginative, uncreative, man. But that's what it is. You know, you if I didn't come in here with my calls, they'd have nothing. You know, I remember back in the day I was watching a Floyd Mayweather fight. He was doing what Floyd does, right, just countering guys. Never initiating, though, just waiting for the guy to throw first and beating him to the punch. I asked my friend, I'm like, dude, what would happen if Canelo didn't throw anything? I mean, would it just be two guys standing in the middle of the ring with nothing happening for 3 minutes? And that's what the smack-off would be without me, Rom. So I'm going to make a couple more calls before. Hell, I'll probably come in tomorrow and make fun of James Kelly's head or Adam Hawk's horrible T-shirts or something like that. Thanks for the line. Talk to you later.
You got it, Vic. Welcome back, champ. Vic in NoCal. Where you at, Mike? Where you at, Mikey? All right, so Vic said he's going to be there. Come on, man. He's got no life outside the game. Mike's got no life outside the game. My sense is Mike may not be there. I don't know. Again, Mike's kind of a tough cat to read. Mike might be sandbagging everybody. Mike might be lying in the weeds. Mike might be setting it up. Or Mike might not be coming in at all. And look, it doesn't say anywhere that he's got to. Mike has meant so much to that event and that show. If Mike takes the year off and doesn't say, Jack, Mike is welcome to come in next year. Mike has won the thing. Mike has shared a piece of another win. He's got an exemption. Mike can come in essentially whenever the hell he wants. But I'd love to see Mike in this year. Mike, I would love to see you this year. It's better when you're here, Mike, but I'm not going to beg for it. You know when the event is, Mike. I'd love to have you here. The best of the best going at it. And Lef cannot bum rush the studio. So nobody can use that as an excuse. And I'm not pointing the finger at Mike, because although Mike had a problem with that, others did too. None of you can use that as an issue. None of you can say, I'm not coming in, Rome, because it's fixed. It's not fixed. It's fixed because LeBron, or I should say because Lef, can come in studio. No, he can't. He can't, and nobody else can. And no, I did not make that rule for Mike. That is not the Mike rule. It's not even the Lef rule, per se. I mean, it's a result of Lef doing what he did. But I didn't make that rule to keep Lef out of my studio. I made that rule to keep all of you out of my studio. The playing field is level. Is Lef going to go three-peat if he can't come in studio? Can he win the event if he can't come in studio? It says here he probably can. All right, but the good news is Vic is in. It was not an RSVP. He says he does not do RSVPs. He weighs in. Vic does not get out of shape. Vic is always in shape. And the analytics crew at Stucknut have determined that 80% of all the content, this is according to Vic, 80% of all the content the day of the smack-off is about Vic, according to the Stucknut analytics crew. Headstrom Bacon, Steve, Pool Doc. Yeah, I don't know. I never thought about it. 80% might be a tad high, Vic. Might be a tad high, but there's no doubt. You are a big part of the event. You showing up and everybody else showing up to talk about you. I used to say that about myself all the time. When people were coming for me all the time, every single day, I said, look, I mean, that's how it is. I interview athletes. I talk sports. They talk about me. That's fine. In fact, the day they stop is the day I know I'm losing my edge. Right, Vic? You see me working, Vic. Same thing with you, Vic. You come in here and you talk sports and they all talk about you. Right, Vic? 80% of the time. Regardless, 80%, 40%, I'm happy as hell to see that guy. Good. That may not be an RSVP. I'm considering that an RSVP. I'll see you on the 20th and I'll see you before then. That's good. Vic is in. Jeff in Richmond is in. Tyler in Edmonton is in. Matt in Van is in. I know Lef is in. Brad in Corona should be in. The BIC. Anybody else? Your reaction to Vic, the VIC. All right, we're breaking and we're coming right back. He mentioned James Kelly. James Kelly will be in. He is every Friday. He's in studio tomorrow reading mean tweets. Send them in. It's not too soon to start. Start submitting to @JimRome. You may as well @Hawk also. Mean tweets about James Kelly. We've never done a mean tweet segment on the program. James Kelly will be our first. Let's get you a sports update. React to anything that happened this hour, including my conversation with Chris Cyborg. And Vic is in. Right now, though, a time for a sports update. Here you go. If you want maximum performance from your car, you know you need an edge. Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown, according to the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge titanium strong motor oil. My thoughts on Janoris Jenkins in a minute. First, some reaction to Vic. Hey, Rome, say what you want about the guy, but Smackoff would not be the same without Victor Lee in Vancouver. all day long. I mean, that's not in dispute. I don't care how much you hate that guy. That event is much better with him. I'm hyped. I'm really glad to hear from him. Now I'm waiting on Mike. Vic says, come on, Rome. You know Mike and Indy's going to be there. I don't know. I hope. I think. I want him to. But like I said, I'm not going to beg the guy. I'm not going to beg any of you to be in the most important day of the show. Most important day of the year for this show. $5,000 hanging in the balance. And the title of King of Smack. You know when it is. If you're good enough to be in it, you know when it is. This says, nice call, Vic. Not. Andy from Denver. A not blast. The subject is, nice call, Vic. The body is not.
Not.
At Scott Gratis tweets, Vic always hitting everyone with the smarmy truth. At Smackoff fan is in. Vic's voice is the audio representation of a pencil mustache. That's good. You like that, Hawk?
Yeah.
Hey, Roger. Hawk thought that was funny. A guy with a porn stash laughing at a pencil mustache joke. That's great, Hawk. Ed Hughes Jeremiah tweets, round isn't a shape, Vic. Dear Jim, it's great to have the mystery cleared up about whether or not Vic is coming to the Smack-Off. As if it was ever a mystery. But he didn't answer the question of why he got kicked off Twitter. And for all his talk about always being in shape, pretty rich that he would make that claim considering he finished 6th and 9th in the last 2 Smack-Offs. Check yourself, Vic. You're getting a little flabby. Tony from Iowa City. All right, then. Considering this has been a very strange and disturbing story that's developed over the past couple of days, and I know you've wanted me to talk about it, but I want to see... wait and see for more information to develop. And now we have it. Not all the information, but more information. I'm talking about the story involving Giants cornerback Janoris Jenkins. On Tuesday at 10:22 a.m., police received a 911 call that led them to Jenkins' New Jersey home. And according to reports, the body of a 25-year-old man had been found in the basement of that home. An already tragic story took an even worse turn when it was reported that the cause of death appeared to be strangulation or suffocation. The hell is that? Now, it's important to note from the outset, it was made clear that Jenkins was not home. Not only was Jenkins not home, he wasn't even in the state. He was in Florida and had been for some time. But then the story took another really weird turn when William H. Jenkins Jr., the older brother of Janoris, was arrested and charged with aggravated manslaughter in the death of Roosevelt Renee. The victim was a music producer who had been living in the house and had been reportedly working with Janoris on some projects. William Jenkins was taken into custody in Ontario, New York, and on Tuesday in connection with a parole violation on 2 other felony convictions. That was the same day that the body was discovered in Janoris' home. Now, I've got no idea what happened. I'm not going to pretend to know. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to guess. Other than to say, it's tragic. It's awful. And it's also a little bit strange that somebody who identified himself as a party planner told USA Today that Janoris was in Florida for a series of parties, including one that was coming up on June 30th. There was a recent post on Jenkins' Facebook page promoting Saturday's event, the Jackrabbit Mansion Pool Party. But the party planner was not sure it was going to go on as scheduled. Dro Johnson told USA Today, quote, I don't really know where we're at. I've been waiting for him to call back to see if we're still on. But I don't really know what's going on, man. It's a sad situation that occurred, end quote. Again, what the hell? A dead body is found. The brother of the party host is charged in connection with that death. And you're still wondering if the pool party is still on. I mean, seriously. I'm going to jump right in here and say, maybe we call off Saturday's Jackrabbit Mansion Pool Party. I mean, I know it was something that had been planned for a long time, but a dead body was just found at Jack Rabbit's house. And Jack Rabbit's brother has been charged with aggravated manslaughter. I'm not so sure that hosting a pool party in Florida a few days after that happened is the best look ever. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. And you're not doing your job if you're thinking that Janoris Jenkins will be looking to do cannonballs into a pool and mess around on a floating swan a few days after a dead body was discovered in his home. And everybody deals with grief and tragedy in their own way, so I'm not going to say what is and isn't appropriate for somebody else in a situation like this. But I'll say this. You shouldn't be looking to do cannonballs into a pool and mess around on a floating swan a few days after a dead body is discovered in your home and your brother is being held in connection with that death. And if I'm the party planner, I'm not going to wait for that call back from Janoris. I'm going to make that decision for him. I mean, a family friend was found dead in his home, and his brother is being held in connection with that. I don't think that Janoris is in the right frame of mind for that jackrabbit bash. I've got to think this guy's got other more important things to worry about. I've got to think he might be distracted. Go ahead. Cancel the party. Do him a favor. Take the initiative. Again, I am not in the party planning business. This is really none of my business. I'm not looking to take money out of anybody's pocket or food off anybody's table or wreck anybody's weekend who was looking forward to the jackrabbit bash. And I know refunds are a pain in the ass, but go ahead and shut that bash down. Do it right now. No need to wait. Get cracking on that and let Janoris focus on everything else that matters in this case. He might be angry now. He will thank you later. Terrible, awful, tragic, bizarre story. Let's go to Corvallis, Oregon. I've got time for a quick phone call. Trapper in Corvallis. What's up, Trapper?
Hey, Jimmy, we got a party going up here, not the kind you just talked about, but I'll make it brief because I'm on a clock. All my nieces and nephews went to OSU, so you know who I'm rooting for. I agree with Annie Savoy and what she said in Bill Durham. I believe in the Church of Baseball, and I think the baseball gods were at play in Bugga Hall last night. But tired of hearing about woulda, coulda, shoulda, about second baseman, your guy Carson Shaddy overrunning that pop-up. Bottom line is, all we've been seeing for this whole series with you guys is the woulda, coulda, shouldas and the horrific umpiring going against the Beavers. So last night was only justice, and you left the door open, guys. The greatest clutch hitting of the season followed. We'll see what happens tonight, which leaves the slate clean. I watched the Hogs starter, was Isaiah Campbell, record 8 strikeouts in 3 innings a couple games ago. Kid's a witch. And then you've got the Beavers overdue bats, best in college baseball. Does good pitching beat good hitting? I guess we'll see tonight. That's all I got except go Beavers. Jimmy, thank you very much for the dime. Hope you're doing good, and tramps like us, babe. I'm out.
Good job, Trapper. Look at Trapper editing on the fly, knowing he was up against it. Trapper, you're invited on the 20th. You know that. I'll see you then. Trapper talking College World Series in, quote, the Church of Baseball. 303 Automotive is a premium line of protectants and cleaners designed to keep your car looking new and lasting longer. It is available at most auto parts retailers, or you can visit 303radio.com. Thanks to the champ, Chris Cyborg, for coming in studio. Daniel Carcillo, great interview with him in hour number one. Eric Wood, same thing. Really good jungle day. Big day tomorrow. James Kelly Mean Tweets. He's going to read them on set. Make sure you hit me up at Jim Rome. Hit Hawk up on Twitter. Get your mean tweets in. Start sending them right now. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing day. See you back here tomorrow. Finish strong.